Masechet Eduyot, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Yod. In this Mishnah, will bring four different Mahlokot between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel with four different topics. Mishnah says, Hamadirat Ishto Mitashmish Hamita. If a man makes a swear that prevents his wife from having relations with him, the person can't make a swear that says the enjoyment of intimacy with me is forbidden to you. Man cannot do that to his wife because his wife is entitled to intimacy that he signs on the ketubah. He has to give her intimacy, so therefore that type of vow would never take effect. What he could say is that he won't engage in intimacy, and by extension, automatically, his wife cannot have intimacy because he's the only person she could be with. So therefore, if a person makes that type of vow, Beit Shammai omrim shetei shabbatot. Beit Shammai say that the limit to that type of vow is 2 weeks. We'll elaborate on what that means. Beit Hillel omrim shabbat ahad. Beit Hillel say 1 week limit. If a person made this type of swear, then if it goes beyond this time, according to Beit Shammai, 2 weeks, according to Beit Hillel, 1 week, if the husband doesn't figure out a way to get out of the swear through hatarat nedarim or to get out of it in some other way, then the wife can demand a divorce with a ketubah. If this refraining lasts for at least a week or more, according to Beit Shammai, 2 weeks, if Beit Hillel, 1 week, if it lasts more than that amount of time, she could demand a divorce with a ketubah collection. But if the period that he swears for is less than that amount of time, then she cannot demand a divorce, because a woman is entitled to relations at least once or twice a week, depending on which side, Beit Shammai or Beit Hillel. So he wouldn't be violating his obligation to her if it's in a shorter amount of time. The next machloket will be about a woman who gives birth or has a miscarriage. In the Din HaTorah, and the laws of the Mishnah, after a woman gives birth or has a miscarriage, she has days of tum'ah, where she's not allowed to have marital relations on a de'oraita level. After that, there's yemei tahara, there's days of purity, where on a Torah level, on a biblical level, the woman is allowed to have relations even if she sees blood. Depends on the amount of days, depends on a boy or a girl. If the child that she had was a boy, then the Tameh period would be 7 days, and the Tahor period that follows would be 33 days. If it was a girl, the Tameh period would be 14 days, the Tameh period 14 days, and the Tahor time would be 66 days. After that Tahor period is finished, they bring Korbanot. When dealing with a girl, where we said the Tahor period, where relations are biblically allowed, which is 66 days, it's possible, technically, that after she gives birth, she goes through those 14 days of Tum'ah, and then the 66 days of Tahara. It's possible within those 66 days for her to conceive and then miscarry a child. A child would only be, that fetus would have to be at least 40 days old for it to be viable. During that Tahor period, she could conceive and then miscarry all within those 66 days. If that happened, she would not have to bring a second set of korbanot. The korbanot that she brings at the end of the tahara period from the first birth that she had would also accomplish what she needs for the second one as well. But if the miscarriage happens after the tahor period, then a second set of korbanot would be needed. Here we'll talk about a miscarriage that took place right on the midpoint between them, on the night of the 81st, so the 80th day has just finished. She miscarried on the night, which is night 81. What happens in that situation? Does she have to bring a second set of korbanot that after she brings the first one for the first birth, or does one set of korbanot accomplish everything from the first birth and then from the miscarriage over here? If a woman has a miscarriage during the night of the 81st day, Beit Shammai potrin mina korban. Say Beit Shammai, she's only obligated to bring one set of korbanot. She's patur, she's petura, she's not obligated to bring a second set of korbanot. Even in this case, where the korbanot that she's bringing for the first birth are considered to be valid for the second one as well. Since she had a miscarriage before she was allowed to bring the korban, even though the 80 days are over, she can't bring the korban till the next morning, and she miscarried the night before. So it wasn't possible for her to bring the korbanot. So therefore we say, since she didn't bring the korbanot yet, it's as if she's within the tahor period and would not have to bring a new set of korbanot. Bet Hillel mehayevin. Bet Hillel say no, she's obligated to bring a second set of korbanot. The miscarriage took place after the tahor period ended, so therefore the korban that she's bringing for the first birth that she had would not cover it. Now we'll talk about the third mahloket, which is about tzitzit. Tzitzit that we connect to our shirts have a string of techelet, of blue dye on them, made from the chilazon. The blue threads of techelet have to be made from wool. If the garment itself is linen, wearing tzitzit would technically violate the laws of sha'atnez, wearing wool and linen together. But we say that the oraita mitzvah of wearing techelet would override that prohibition, that isur. So wearing a linen garment would obligate a person to put wool strings on it. Here we'll see how hachamim treat this situation. Sadin besisit. If you have a linen beged, a linen shirt, with the mitzvah of sisit, Bet Shammai potrin, Bet Shammai say that it's exempt from the mitzvah. You're forbidden to put techelet onto a linen shirt, and there's no mitzvah whatsoever. So since there's no mitzvah, if you do it, then you're wearing sha'atnez. So according to Bet Shammai, the rabbis made a decree that you're not allowed to put tzitzit onto a linen garment because they were nervous that somebody's going to wear that shirt at nighttime. At nighttime, there's no obligation to wear tzitzit. So therefore, the person's not really accomplishing a mitzvah. So if he's not accomplishing a mitzvah, he's wearing wool and linen together during the nighttime, and therefore he's violating the prohibition, the isur of sha'atnez. Bet Hillel mehayevim. Bet Hillel say no. If you're wearing a linen shirt, you're obligated in the mitzvah of tzitzit, because they say that the rabbis never made a decree against this. The fourth mahaloka will have is about tevil. If you have produce that was made in Eretz Yisrael, you have to take out the terumot or ma'asrot. If you didn't, the produce is called tevil. Tevil is asur, it's forbidden to be eaten on a deoraita level. But produce doesn't become tevil until the owner actually becomes obligated to take the terumot or ma'asrot. Before that point in time, they're allowed to have a little bit of it as a snack. They're allowed to pick at it, they're allowed to have a little bit, but that's only until that point where we say that the produce becomes obligated in Terumot Ma'asrot. One type of way to obligate produce in Terumot Ma'asrot, which you wouldn't be allowed to pick at it or snack from it anymore, is if Shabbat came. In other words, if the produce had the Gemar Melacha, it was fully processed, and then it had a Shabbat. It hit its first Shabbat after the Gemar Melacha. We say that produce, once it reaches the time of Shabbat, since all eating on Shabbat is a mitzvah, v'karata la Shabbat oneg, it's all enjoyment, every type of snack is considered to be a significant type of eating, so therefore, at that point in time, once it's Shabbat, automatically you're not allowed to snack from it anymore because it's considered to be significant eating, unless you took Terumot Ma'asrot first. So Mishnah is going to say, what if a person took food on a weekday and designated it special for eating on Shabbat? Does that alone, that designation, make it obligated in Terumot Ma'asrot, and therefore I wouldn't be allowed to snack on it anymore, even before Shabbat begins, or not? Kalkalat HaShabbat. If you have a basket of fruit that a person designated to be eaten on Shabbat, Bet Shammai potrin, Bet Shammai say that it does not become obligated to Terumot Ma'asrot until Shabbat starts. Therefore, a person would allow to continue to snack before Shabbat without separating Terumot Ma'asrot from that basket. Bet Hillel mehayevin. Bet Hillel say no, the basket is obligated in Terumot Ma'asrot immediately, as designated right away, even before Shabbat starts. So therefore, you're not allowed to eat from it at all, unless you took Terumot Ma'asrot beforehand. Say Bet Hillel, that a person, once he designates food for Shabbat, he's not going to change his mind and use it for a different reason. So therefore, the fact that he designated it would be enough to consider the food on the level of Shabbat, and therefore, it would be obligated in Terumot Ma'asrot, again, even before the Shabbat started.